Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. They're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sound. Poor people gonna rise up, get their share. People gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Finally the table are starting to turn. Talking about the rebels. Standing in the welfare line, crying to the doorsteps of the armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution.
Welcome, welcome once again, Blog Talk Radio. I'll be your host, Reginald Camper. Election is May 20th, 9 to 5. It's time for us to show up because we're going to talk a little bit about the nomination and who got duly elected. So it's very important for us to understand one thing. This is a joke to them. It's a joke. So if we don't show up to vote, you know, we playing into their hand. We have to show up to vote. I go by the first three of your numbers. I don't say your name. If you like to say your name, you're more welcome to say it. So welcome to the show, Pat.
Good evening, Raj. Good evening, everybody.
Second, welcome to the show, Dan.
How you doing, Pat, Reggie, and all callers and listeners?
Okay, Dan. I'll run down the calls in a minute because I want you. I know you took notes. And if you have your notes near you, maybe you can tell what some of these guys are running for and some of the salaries they triple themselves to get, because now the salaries are triple. They triple the salaries even for one meeting, just one meeting for 15 to 30 minutes, $1,000 for one meeting. That's not including the $180,000 or $160,000 or $140,000 salaries on top of this. So if you get your list around you, maybe you can just run down a little brief of whatever you get down.
So let me get this straight. Because our union officials attend the a monthly union meeting, they get $1,000 for that?
$1,000. E-board members, $750. A vice president, $1,000. President, $1,000. You can read them down what you get because – I already know because when I serve, we only got $250 a meeting. So now they triple the salaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me go down with the lawyer Matt Cleveland said before the nominations. the salaries, delegate and delegates to the convention per pay period, $3,346. Secretary Treasurer, $3,396 per pay period. So I take it per pay period is twice a month, like our pay period.
Right.
President, $1,000 per pay period. Vice President, $750. E-board, $750 per month. Auditor, $500 per month. A full-time union official, the union will make benefit contributions for them for health and pension, including travel expenses, out-of-pocket expenses, auto, laptop, cell phone, including a 10-day vacation and one sick day per month, and a severance of 1 week for each year of service if they leave the union. Now, these guys get all this, but they never negotiated a sick day for the laborers. They never negotiated a severance pay for the laborers. And they never negotiated out-of-pocket expenses for laborers. And they also get a 3% annual cost of living. They never negotiate that in our contracts. Usually your contract, you'll get a 0.5% 1 year, 1% the next year. And by the end of the contract, you might get 2.5. These guys get a guaranteed 3% annual cost of living. The same union, the same pension fund, that went in court that we don't care about the retirees. Our mayor cut the cost of living. The circuit court overruled him. He took it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said they're entitled to cost of living. But the union in solidarity never said, you know what, since Rahm cut your cost of living, we're going to forego our cost of living. Never crossed their mind to do that, which is kind of amazing.
And you know, one thing that I'm bothered by, I'm going to go to some calls after I say this, and I'm going to let Pat respond, because I know he's ready to say something. But one thing I was bothered by, a young man was knocked off the ballot for saying, they said in 2010 he didn't pay his union dues. So you're going to tell me you allowed this guy to vote in the 13th election, 2013. He voted in the delegate election, 2016. He attends all the meetings. They had an amnesty a year ago. He filled the amnesty out. And you threw him off the ballot for something in 2010 because he ran against Bob Schinelli. So, I totally feel this guy should file his appeal, but look what we're playing with. Look what we're going against. So
file the appeal. File the appeal. Even though they swore in Bob Schinelli, they'll have to rescind that if this guy has a cause. So if they let him vote after 2010, then he's up to date. That's what it tells me.
And he was. They have an online that he looked online and seen he was current. So I'm going to repeat it. I don't know your names. I don't know your faces or anything. I look at your phone number, the first three. That's your number. You know, that's your name unless you want to say your name. 936, welcome to the show. You can have anything you'd like to say, then I'm going to go to Pat. Welcome to the show, 936.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tina Butler, former Sergeant at Arms of Chicago City Council. I was not fortunate enough to be in the union when it mattered, but my whole family is. I want to congratulate you, Reggie, Hector, and I know we've got some work to do, and if you need me, I'm available. I can't walk precincts anymore, but I can write. I wrote for 50 of the married men downtown when I was director of the Legislative Reference Bureau, and I wrote afterwards because some of them refused to go to the new one. So I can write a mean letter, flyer, whatever you need. I'm here.
I appreciate it because we definitely have to build our own organization within the organization because now me and Dan was sitting there. They walked out the union hall laughing. It was a joke to them. They walked out laughing and boosting. So it was totally a joke. I'm going to go up and down the calls. Once again, your first three is your number. Everybody mic is on. I normally keep it on. If I hear back noise, I will put it on mute. But I'm trying to keep it so we all can talk together. So let's go to 865. Welcome to the show. 865, welcome to the show. First three numbers. Okay, I'll put you on hold.
Sorry, I couldn't get on. My phone kept on doing something crazy. How you doing?
You got it. I'll keep you live, but just make sure your back noise is good. So welcome to the show.
I'm
going to
mute
out. Anything you'd like to say?
You know, you guys got—they're trying to infiltrate the unions first, and you guys all got to realize that. The the communists and the New World Order are trying to take over the country, and they're starting with the unions. So it all starts with you guys. And you got to realize that you got to fight for everything more than ever before.
I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. Normally I come up and down and check with you. So just give me a minute. I'm going to check with the other callers, and then you can stay and listen. And if you'd like to add any comments, you're more welcome to do it. So thank you for calling. And I'm going to keep you on mute, and then I'll check back with you. So, Pat, anything you'd like to say or give us an update on the retirees?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to what Dan said about the union and where they get their 3% COLA, but they were ready to give ours up. You know, they had me on the phone. Cinelli had me on the phone, and it came right from his mouth that they signed our COLA away, or diminished it, I should say. I think it was like to 1% or 1.5%, something like that. And also our health care. And that was the big argument, because we went back and forth, and I kept telling them, you can't represent us. It's illegal. Well, we know that, but we signed it anyway. So it goes a little deeper. It wasn't just Tutu. It was all these assholes that did it to us. And they're still raking it in. They're getting their health care. They're getting their COLA. You know, you currents, you better wake up, because you ain't going to have shit when these people are done with you. I might even try to apply for a general labor's job so I could join the union and become union president or something. Oh, I can't stand this shit with these people. But as far as the health care, there's two parts to this now. The first part is we're still waiting for a refund, because they found out every year we were paying more into our health care, and that our lawyer was always fighting for a refund. And it usually amounted to maybe about $1,000 to $1,200 a piece, depending, you know, if you had if it was a couple, if it was single or family. So we're waiting for that. We got 6 months back pay coming for that. And, you know, we should get that. Now, the second part is, we're still fighting to go back to 2013. Between 2013 and 2016, I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like our health insurance was jacked up $760 per month in 3 years. Before that, we used to see healthcare insurance jump maybe about $40 to $50 per year for each month. Then all of a sudden, when they decided to wipe it all out, they took the giant leap, and they really screwed us. So there's two parts to that, and we're hoping that we're getting near to finish. But then knowing the city, it'll be continued or some other bullshit.
I totally agree. Dan, you want to respond?
Postponing the inevitable. They're just postponing the inevitable. They see there's 18 is coming up, the gubernatorial. They all need to go, not just Rauner, the lifers. They all need to go. They got good pensions. They got cushy health care benefits and all that, and they're trying to stick it to the. No, I was paying $1,185 a month for health insurance for a single person, and that wasn't counting my insulin, all my meds I take. And then they tell me I have to go on the open market because I wasn't eligible for Medicare. And some angel on that CWPP site told me that I would be eligible maybe under my husband's. I went. Sure enough, I was eligible under my husband's. But how many people did I work with for so many years busting their ass are getting nothing? They're getting nothing. They're paying $1,400 a month, a little better than $1,400 for one person, $2,600 a month, or $2,200 or $2,600 a month for two people. And if you have a family, you get the privilege of paying $3,622 a month. But they didn't turn in their cars. They didn't turn in their car keys. They didn't turn in their union credit cards. They gave themselves a big raise. They got their coal. They got their freaky health insurance and everything else. But stick it to the retirees. December 23rd, 2015, the lawyer for 1001 stood up and said in Judge Neil Cohen's courtroom, we do not support the retirees' position. But they didn't turn nothing in. They didn't turn in their office keys. They didn't turn in their car keys. They didn't turn in their credit cards that they supposedly used for union business. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I hate the people that I love, that I worked with. One guy had double bypass surgery, can't retire because his daughter's in college. And he can't afford to pay $3,600 a month for insurance for the three of them, for him, his wife, and his daughter in college.
I know two gentlemen that died on the job for the same thing. They had heart surgery, and they didn't have it set up that they had security if they left, so they kept working and they end up dying on the job. So I'm sorry to hear that. It's very sad.
Yeah, but also, too, let's not forget our brothers and sisters at the lower end of the ladder. You're talking clerks. You're talking crossing guards. I mean, there's so many people out there that are making just over minimum wage. And these general laborers, what the hell are they going to do with their wages that they're getting from these cutthroat idiots? I mean, this isn't a pretty situation out there, Currents. You got to wake up. You got to end this shit. Wake up and end it. Otherwise, you're going to be dead in the water. Trust me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know for a fact $1,000 for one meeting, not including the $180 you making salary or $160, you know, it's ridiculous. $1,000 for a 15-minute meeting is ridiculous. So, you know, like you say, Pat, the zombies got to wake up. 865, would you like to respond to anything?
I have a couple things. I got a little union story to tell all you guys. I retired from the city on the last big buyout where everyone went. We worked 3 years without a contract. About 3 months before we retired, they signed the contract. We retired. They said, we're not giving the retirees the back pay. You gotta be shitting me! And it happened, and all the unions signed off on it. I mean, to screw us out of our back pay. We had a lawsuit against them. Supposedly, it was settled. We won one count. They sent out a sheet about how much we were going to get. It all disappeared. So we never got anything. We don't know what happened. We got the lawsuit. We had a class action suit against them. Who knows what happened to it? Probably somebody got bought out on the thing. You guys got to wake up, because they're going to fuck you. Excuse the language.
You know, you're right on that, too, because it happened to me, the same thing. I didn't get any back pay. I think it was for, like you said, 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden, they came out, Daly, that little fat J.O. that he is. He says, oh, no back pay for the retirees. They're out. We earned that money. That's why we filed. And like you said, I don't know what the hell happened to it. Nobody's ever said anything or done anything on it. Knowing him, he gave it to his nephew to buy some rubbers.
Hey, Pat, you go back to work. Take me with you. I'm ready to go. We'll raise some cane.
Let's go.
I'll ride my little rascal down the alleys because I got two titanium knees. They ain't going to work so good in the cold, so I'll just use my little rascal. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, this election is going to be very important because right after this election is the mayor election. And one thing I was thinking as I was walking down the alley, the perfect slogan is, if you vote for 1001, you're actually voting for Ron Emanuel. So sell yourself a dream if you think they're going to take their money and get another mayor in office when they already gave them $100,000. And it's sad.
Did you realize that what do you call it? What's the step above the local union? I can't think straight right now. The district council.
District council.
Right. Your district council backed the billionaire. Did anybody ask you guys who you want to back for governor?
No.
We have never been asked.
Yes, they backed them along with 13 other unions. So, I mean, what kind of shit is that? They just come up with these names. You know, whoever's going to take care of them, but not the membership, you guys are going to get screwed. It's as long as they get taken care of, they're fine with it.
Which billionaire are you talking about, Pasquale? Are you talking about JB or Mr. Regular Man duct tape around the mouth? I'd like to
see
duct tape and just...
The Scotch guy, JB. JB, the Scotch guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, and you know, that election comes before the mayoral. We got 2018 to gut Springfield. That's what they need to do. One domino goes, the rest of them go with. Then the unions are going to be scared shitless because this guy wants to make us a right-to-work state anyway. He's not for the unions. And what are they, you know, and what did Kissing Rahm Emanuel's ask for? I mean, I spent 25 years at the hall. I'm ashamed of myself that I've seen this happening right under my nose. I could see it happening, but I didn't think they were ever going to do that. My husband kept saying, "Oh, come on, they're not going to do that. The unions are not going to." Really? 31 locals abandoned their members. 31. Remember that number. 31. And 2018 is the gubernatorial, and then comes Tutu's election. And if they see some big people fall, Cullerton's supposedly talking about stepping out. He's tired of the infighting, he says. Bullshit. He knows that he's going to get his ass kicked if they keep going the way they're going. So, you know, Currents better wake up. Do you want to be walking down the alley making half as much as the guy next to you because he's got seniority? Or what are they going to do, try to cut the salary of the people with seniority down to where the new laborers are coming in because they created that special spot, general laborer? It's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Tell me which union backs its members. Does anybody know that?
Yes.
CTU.
Well, I can tell you, the teachers, the police, and halfway, I would say, the firemen. You know, but I hate to talk about other unions because I don't know fully. But, in fact, the police union backed the laborers union and the municipal union, and they led the charge for this court. They also contributed $100,000 to the lawyer for this fight. These guys were behind us. They 1001 couldn't even be my used fucking toilet paper in this. I mean, a different union backed us.
Right, and our union gave $100,000 to Rob instead of giving it to the court fight.
Right. Well, they were the cause of the court fight, Dan.
Let me just say, I know that with all these unions back in Pritzker are the same unions that voted for the pension cuts overturned by the Supreme Court. It's the Bricklayers District Council, the Carpenters Regional Council, IBEW 134, Iron Workers District Council, Illinois International Union of Electric 150 and 399, Laborers District Council, Pipe Fitters 597, Plumbers 130, Sprinkler Fitters 281, SEIU 73. These are the same unions back in Pritzker who will back Rahm. Rahm will back Pritzker. I'll bet my house on it. And it'll be business as usual. This Pritzker will cut your pensions. Do you think he cares about his Hyatt hotel workers? He hasn't done a thing. Don't forget, the Congress Hotel was on strike for 8 years on Michigan Avenue. 8 years. His family owned that hotel. He claims he has no interest in it. But I find that hard to believe.
That's why they had that blow-up rat out front with his name on it, or his family's name on it.
Yeah. And his sister, his sister was a big part of that. She was hired in Obama's cabinet, and that's when the strike ended before she went his cabinet.
Yeah.
For 8 years they were on strike.
What a coincidence, huh? 8 years? That it should be 8 years? And they don't give a shit about those hotel workers. That's for sure. They don't care.
Well, Reginald?
Yeah.
Let me announce the nominees. For president was Nicole Hayes. The incumbent is running against Betsy Redding, very nice lady from the United Slate. And Pat, you're going to love this one. Steve Marcucci, Skip Marcucci's running for, was nominated for vice president against Linda Sids from the United Slate. Secretary of Treasury Victor Roa was nominated by the current administration. He's running against Terry Coleman from the United Slate, who is, according to Paul Reed, is he the guy that worked on five contracts, or is that Arnold? Well,
Bob Cinelli is the one that did all the contracts. Terry Coleman worked downtown.
Talking about prior, Reg. That was Arnold, because I remember Arnold always being our lawyer at the union.
Okay, and then Smoke Ellis, business manager, running against Paul Reed. Sergeant at Arms, Mark Payne, running against John Rezzo. Auditor Sri, Michelle Harris, Lawrence Pardo, Dave Morales, which are the incumbents. And then you have George Velasquez, George Chesniak, and Bob Murphy from United Slate, I believe. Executive Board, Latasha Sanders, whose husband got a $100,000 a year job with CDOT. Running, and Dave Torres for Executive Board from the incumbents. And then you have United Slate, Larry Dunleavy, Mike Funches, and independent Reggie Camper was nominated. Delegate to District Council from the incumbents, Will Irving, who wants to get his third pension if he gets four more years in, Bob Cianelli, and running against him is Owen Cope, Jimmy Klosky, and Hector Maldonado.
Dave, remember this.
Bob Cianelli was going to run for recording secretary, but they threw Turner Atkins off the ballot. So they made him, they just put him in office right there. But here's the question. He's been voting for almost two elections, and he attends all the meetings. You're going to tell me you dropped the ball and then tell him he wasn't in good standing out of all this time? That don't seem
He's got a good cause on that to get his name back on the ballot. He's got to follow that up. I don't know, maybe you have any resources you can help him with, but he should definitely call the international, call the Dirksen Federal Building, call the feds, and then call District Council. District Council won't help you, but call the feds and call the international. He's got to do that. And
go ahead, Dan.
No. Well, if he needs help, I don't know what to tell him. Maybe, I hate to have him hire a lawyer, but if he's got to do what he's got to do.
Well, basically, he's going to have to present a letter, and maybe we can get other people to help him out to form a letter for him, but he has to form a letter saying that, why would you allow me to go to two meetings, not two meetings, he go to all the meetings, and he attended two elections. If you're not in good standing, you cannot even go to a Christmas party, not alone an election.
Correct.
So it shows something was fishy about that. And then Victor Rowe went on his computer and looked it up, and went back to 2010. So if it was that important, you should have did this during the two elections.
Well, Victor
Rowe
didn't.
So that's something that definitely have to be looked into.
Yeah, Victor Rowe didn't care because he was running on a reform slate 4 years ago, and then he turned into a compromised.
Yeah,
you know, now he's compromised. He's in with the rest of them. He's got blood on his hands as far as I'm concerned. The way that the union has
Give, I don't know if anybody has my phone number, but maybe Pasquale, Senator Pasquale, and he can give it to Hector. I'm a good letter writer. I did it for 15 years, sort of 50 married people downtown. So I'm a good letter writer, and I'll be happy to help him with whatever he needs.
I have a two-part question. Can you hear me? There's a background in there. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I have a two-part question. First one to Tina. That lawyer that got up in court, in Cohen's court, and announced that he's against, they're against us. That was in 2015, correct?
December 23rd, 2015. I know that because that was my daughter's birthday.
Right.
That's
okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify the argument because it was part of an argument. Now, Reggie or Dan, was Smoke Ellis with the union in December 2015 in the position that he is in now?
Yes.
Okay. Because I got in an argument with a woman because she didn't like it because I was bum rapping the 28 Crane God Almighty preacher, and she didn't care for that. And she says, since I always tell the truth, I should be aware of the truth. And I told her, I says, I'm almost certain he was there in 2015 when this was set. And she claimed he would never say that. And then she went into her spiel that, you know, he made the union fine and did this and did that. And I, you know, after that, I just ignored her. And that was the end of that. But they had nerve enough to argue with me about this, that he never said that.
All we have to do is ask for a copy of the court transcript. Cohen's court transcripts should have every single period, comma, dot, dash, whatever, cross the T's, dot the I's. The court reporter was there. She recorded every single thing that was said in that. So there's tangible evidence.
I don't doubt it one bit. It's just that, you know, I just wanted to verify it because I wasn't there in person. I just wanted to verify the date. You were?
I was there. Okay. I set up the e-board, and Ron Robinson only served a year and a half. After a year and a half, he chickened out, turned tail and ran, and gave it to the people he ran against. And that's so weird. Why would you fire everybody you ran with and give it to the people that you ran against? So that's something that's very suspect.
He was bought out.
Yeah, exactly. That's so simple to figure out why he did that. It's because he's a sellout. That's all there is to it.
Let me introduce some more callers in because we got a couple more callers. First three is your number. If you want to say something, you're more welcome. If you don't want to say nothing, it's cool with me. If you want to say your name, that's up to you. If you got clean background, I will keep your mic open. And if you don't think I can find the people with the bad background, what I do is I mute them one by one and see where the bad background coming from. So if you got bad background, I'll keep you on mute, but I'll check with you every now and then. So let's introduce a new caller. The first three of your numbers, 921. I don't know your name. It's 921.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
We doing good. What's good?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. I had a situation where I'm terminated from the job, and I wound up getting my job back. But now they're going to the court. And I was just trying to find out, why would they be still going to the court to take my job back?
So are you saying they appeal your decision and they trying to go back and say
they
shouldn't have gave your job back?
They trying to recant the decision, yeah.
Anybody got any other suggestions?
I can't think of any unless wherever you have your hearing with human resources, get a transcript from them and read it through yourself, see what they say, if it matches up with what actually happened. I don't know beyond that, if they're taking it to the circuit court. I don't know why they would be taking it to the circuit court. Jesus Christ, these people are legal happy. They just let everything go to court, and they lose their ass, and they still take it to court anyway. So the only thing I can suggest to you from working for 25 years at City Hall and doing a lot of human resource stuff is that they would ask for a transcript of their hearing, and they're required to give it to them. I don't know what your union says about it, because these were the majority were Shackman employees that I dealt with. But they have to give you the charges, the deliberation, and the decision.
Hey,
and then you have something tangible to give them.
Hey, Stevie,
did you ask for a union lawyer?
No, district. Hey, I was told that the union lawyer have to be requested through the union if they see that it's feasible for your case to be done.
did you call your union request a lawyer?
Yes, I did, and I didn't get no reply. And my second question is, and I'm gonna let y'all keep going because I like more listening to y'all. The second question is, I fought my case and I won it. I'm back at work, but I'm getting letters and stuff from the commissioner. They appealing the decision of me getting my job back. So I'm just trying to figure out, okay, I went back to the union and said, hey, I need the lawyer again. They not giving me no reply. And if I'm not stupid, I only got 32 credit hours of college. So anyway, if I'm back at work already and you still appealing the case, that means I'm still paying my union. So why do I have to request to get an attorney?
It seems like you're going to have to file with a DFR, and you're going to have to file against your union. You're going to have to file against Great Lakes, and you're going to have to file with International. And the reason I say that, because evidently the lawyer comes from the local, but everybody reports to Great Lakes. Great Lakes is going to be, they got lawyers, so they can send a lawyer to represent you. And if they don't want to send one, file one against them. And if International don't want to send a representative to your hearing, and then file one against them, because they got paid. It's almost like prostitution. You pay for the prostitute, so you got to get your service.
Hey, I don't do prostitutes, man, whatever you don't know.
But you understand what I'm saying. You pay for a service. And you didn't receive the service
okay.
You paid for.
Oh, all right. That
do everything in writing. Do everything
Excuse
in
me,
writing.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Make all your requests in writing. And I know it costs a few bucks, but make it certified. So somebody has to sign that they got the letter. Make everything in writing that you're requesting a lawyer for this purpose and that. Because they cannot refute written evidence. Have it notarized. It won't cost you anything. If you got a friend that's a notary, it costs you a buck. If you got to go to a currency exchange. But have it certified mail sent to wherever you have to send it. If it's got to go up the ladder, do it that way, because you are creating a paper trail.
Okay.
I have a
somewhere
question.
Somebody's going to step on their tongue.
I got a question. So
okay.
If he's going to do this, he should send a union a letter saying they refuse to use the union, the lawyer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody that gave him a no answer, we can't help you. I'm sorry. We're still going to take the money out of your check. Every single body that refused him should get a letter. Excuse me, can I get your name, please? If you talk to them on the phone. When you talk to them, you say, I talked to so-and-so on this date, and they told me I was not entitled to a union lawyer. if you got to go up the ladder, you go, but put every single thing in writing. Because in this way, there's a paper trail that they cannot refute. So
now,
you
can
leave it in their face.
Hey, ma'am, I understand everything you're saying, and I appreciate it. But
now,
you've been in this system a long time, correct?
I'm sorry?
I said you've been in this system a long time, correct?
I'm retired 4 years in August, but I worked for 30 years. But I worked for an alderman. I was Shackman exempt, but my husband was a 130 guy, which makes us sick because my son is a 130 guy, but he's in private industry. They don't treat them the same way they treat the city workers. It's because they changed that title from plumber to caulker so they could hire anybody that didn't come out of the hall. And that was done years ago. My daughter's a Teamster. My whole family is union. Except for me, I had to worry every 4 years. I was just fortunate that my guy lasted more than 30 years, and I got 30 years in.
And I'm going to throw this out there, too. It's going to be hard to get their phone numbers because the union, if you call the union hall, they're supposed to give you every agent phone number because we pay for union phones. The phones are paid by the members. You almost have to twist somebody's arm to get a phone number. So if somebody deny you the phone number, get their name and send them a letter that you was denied the phone number to an agent to assist you because they do not like giving their numbers out no more. So that's something you need to look into.
That's if you get a human. You're going to get voicemail. If you get a human, they'll say, you know, I really don't know about that. I'll get back to you. Give me your number. And then you never hear from them again, and they disappear into the atmosphere. So Reggie is absolutely right. Get names of who you talk to. If you don't talk to them, you call them. You put, I called so-and-so on this date, and I was sent to a voicemail. So however many times you have to do it, that's what you do. Document every single thing.
Reggie, I got a suggestion.
Go for it.
Okay. There's a free legal advice every third Saturday of the month. Write this number down. It's the Chicago Bar Association. 312-554-2001. And it's free legal advice every Saturday from, let me see what the hours are, 9 to 12. So don't count on the union helping you because your job is at stake. You might have to get your own resources. I'm sad to say that.
That's right.
All right, I'll repeat that number every now and then, too, to other people that didn't get it. Pat,
hey,
anything you'd like to say?
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You want
no,
to say
I'm
something?
Saying, I don't mean to interrupt y'all, but I got to go.
All right. It was
and,
nice for you to
I
call.
I appreciate the conversation. Yeah, the better half calling. So you know how they go. I got to have
all right. Well,
all right.
Hey, check in with us. We're here every Monday at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6.
All right. Y'all take care. And keep putting the information out because everybody needs to know.
All right, we appreciate it.
You tell one person and they tell one person, they tell one person. And that person tells 10 people, then the word will get out there.
Pat, you want to say something? You want to jump in this conversation?
No, I'm enjoying it that other people are getting pissed off finally.
Well, you know, it's election time.
I was born pissed off. Are you kidding me?
But you know what, Pat? Think about this. Pat, when we was at the nomination, I got upset. But I didn't say nothing because I was sitting next to Dan, and he kept me calm. You're going to give somebody $1,000 for a 15- to 20-minute meeting, but you will say no to the retirees on their health care. You're going to give somebody $750, just the same 15-minute meeting, but you're saying no to all the children coming in, making 19, 50 an hour. This is an insult. And then you, according to the Constitution, elections can be held every 3 years. You made it 4 years so you can rape us for an extra year. Then you get a car, you get a laptop, you get a phone. It's to a point.
Credit card.
You know, it's just sad. It's totally. And look, they laughed all through the meeting. They laughed their way out. And then Danny didn't tell you this part of the story. The lawyer stood in front of the podium, and the first person to stand up, he's supposed to address them. Everybody's standing up trying to get the lawyer's attention, but he wouldn't address nobody but the local 1001 members. It was like a joke. It was a serious joke.
You
Dan,
know,
if
Reg,
you want to piggyback on
Reg,
what I said, go ahead.
Reg, can I ask you something? Can't you,
go ahead, Pat.
Can't you request someone to sit in on these meetings some way, you know, that isn't a union official where they wouldn't get wind of what they're up to? I know they're listening to it, but, you know, in 2 days with their minds, they'll think about lunch and more money and they'll forget about it. But there has to be a way to get somebody in there to listen to this bullshit and witness this shit. And what a sight that would be is if they whipped out their badges and fucking put cuffs on every one of these assholes. That way all the members could laugh at them.
Well, you know what?
Reggie,
I have been looking at stuff like that. Go ahead, Dan.
It's, you know, it's technically legal what they did. He recognized Smoke Ellis, sat right in front of him, apparently, you know, right in front of the podium. So, but it's no big deal. All that does is mark them on the ballot first. But these guys are running scared. The members are upset. They're fed up with their crap. It doesn't matter where you are on the ballot. A lot of these guys are going to go down. I don't know how many. But the whole slate won't go – the whole incumbent, all the incumbents won't go down. But I got a feeling several of them will. And I don't want to name names now. It's too early. But hopefully they all go down. Hopefully the United slate with Betsy Redding, Linda Sids, Terry Coleman –
I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, I'm pushing for him for the simple reason we got to have a change. I've been there for 4 years. I know a change is needed. You know, what more can you say? I'm tired of time. What more can you say? What more can you do? Anybody like to say anything?
You know what hurts? You know what hurts even more is when you play that tape. The 28 cranes going up in the air, and the laborers are going to climb those cranes and take those jobs from the engineers. Because we're going to do it. Yeah. And then you got the people in the audience, and they go, oh, yeah. And then you hear all the zombies, oh, yeah, that's cool. What the fuck? Use your heads. Don't repeat what they say. What you should be doing is fucking booing them and screaming at them.
You know, I try not to play it too much, Pat.
I don't know if it's legal in the contract, if it's legal for them to continue. Is there anything in the contract anywhere that says that they're allowed to take the dues out of your check? What if a bunch of members just called and said, you know what? You ain't doing shit for us, so we're just going to quit paying.
Hey,
I'm not
going to
take the car. I'm
there's
not
a law
gonna
on the books.
There's
a law on the books
on
that's
the
being
books.
Challenged in California right now. It's about fair value or something like that, the name of it. People are suing to get out of being in the union. And the law says right now, if the union is representing your fellow workers, they're representing you, even though you don't want to join the unit. However, that's in the courts right now, and with the Obama administration gone, the Trump administration taking over, that could be scary. I mean, as much as you really don't want that, because most unions would just collapse. We have the power to vote these guys out. Let's just do it.
Hey, now, Dan, I know for a fact we went through this with the delegate election. The delegate election is when you can change your constitution. But they allow the same clowns to go there every year, because it's only every 3 years right before the election. You allow the same clowns to go there every 3 years and represent you, so why would they change anything to benefit them? So it's like going in a circle.
Well, we got to get these delegates to district council or the delegates to the convention, get a new slate in there. We have the power to vote. Members got to come out to vote. That's all there is to it, and it can change. Simple as that.
I totally agree.
Dan, can I ask you a question? Is this in the contract anywhere? Is this a closed? These are closed door meetings. Nobody can attend these certain meetings where they pass all this, these benefits for themselves, and they stick it to the retirees. Are they closed meetings, or like in the council? It would be a violation of the Open Meetings Act to keep the public out of there.
It's delegates only. If you're an elected delegate, attends the convention, and it's delegates only, no public involved. So you have to be elected to go to the convention.
But the regular meeting, all you have to be is a member in good standing.
Right.
So if you're
they do most of the changes at the convention.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, what I would love to see is this, and this is what you're saying, Christina. I would love to see them open up the e-board meeting to members. So you can allow 5 members in good standing to just participate and watch how e-board meeting is done. Because most e-board meetings, that's where the crookedness really comes from. They all negotiate at the e-board meeting. And then they get a speed reader like Bob to speed read through everything that you really can't catch it. And then they get a bully to tell you to shut up, sit down, and you really can't question nothing. That's the problem, the e-board meeting.
Yeah.
So like Dan's saying is,
I was wondering,
But what Dan's saying is, let's not get focused on that. Let's focus on getting them out.
Yeah, they got to get their ass out and vote. 39% for the mayoral in 2015. Tutu got 54% or 55% of 39% of the registered voters in the city of Chicago. That's shameful. Shameful that people talked shit and sat on their ass at home. If you sat on your ass, then you don't have any right to complain. And if you sit on your ass for the union election, then don't be surprised when they stick it in your moon.
Now, there's 2,700 members, roughly, 2,700. Out of 2,700, if you look at any election, you had 844 people that would show up to vote. Out of the 844 in sanitation, you'll be lucky to get 100. So that means 700 and plus from other departments, CDOT, transportation, asphalt, curb and gutter. They show up, aviation. They show up. But sanitation will not come to vote. And this is the people that me and you know, Dan, they do an in-between loads. Sometimes you miss your lunch. Sometimes they won't let you go to the washroom. Sometimes they threaten you with write-ups. They talk to you like you're a 16-year-old. You know what's going on in sanitation, but they would not show up to vote.
Shame on them.
They're scared.
Hey, you know what's funny about that, too? Going back to the Ellie days, too. We had guys, you know, they would get sick on the job and shit like that. And just so they didn't lose the day's pay, you would see a ward superintendent tossing cans. You would see a foreman tossing cans. Now, whoever these clowns are in these trucks that ride around, they'll write you up if you fart against the wind. I mean, what kind of bullshit is this? Everybody's a human being out there. What I would like to see is for everything turned around. I would like it be mandatory to put these guys on a truck and let them work a day. When they took away the section foreman's title, or no, excuse me, it was before that. It was after a mayor's election, when everything changes for a while, they had a bunch of acting section foremen. And they were ex-laborers, and most of them were the laziest, baddest laborers that there was. I mean, they were good for nothing. And the only reason they made acting foremen is because they were suckholds to the ward bosses. Well, after this election, they put everybody on a truck. We used to have this one guy, he used to pull up in the alley, sit in his car. He couldn't even get out of his car. He was so fat. And if he seen a little piece of paper on the ground, he'd beep his horn, and you see his fat arm sticking out the window and pointing at the stuff on the ground. Well, he stopped that when he started getting flat tires pulling out of the alley. I don't know how. But, you know, the thing is, he lost that. He had to go on a truck with us. And his first day, he came with me. And if you don't think that this guy collapsed in the alley, we had to lean him against the garage, call the fire department and everything, because I thought he was going to die. I wouldn't let up on him. And you want to know something? The way he was pointing out the window, my foot accidentally went up in the air and kicked him in the ass and told him, go pick that paper up over there. Now, that's what I like to see. Like I told you earlier, Tina, an eye for an eye.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. The only thing I don't agree with is this ugly shit. You know, we're stooping to their level. They, you know, they get real ugly, we get uglier. We don't want to be ugly. You want to walk in there with dignity and restore dignity to these unions.
Tina, I love you and all that, and I'm always with you. But when I get stepped on, there's nothing that makes me more mad.
Oh, I agree.
I'll step right back, and I'll step it 10 times worse than what you gave me. That's why I want these people out of here. If these people would have left me alone, I would have just been happy, sipping in my Dago Red, sitting in my rocker, knitting little booties. You know, that's all I wanted in retirement. I wanted to be left alone. These people put the fire back into me. Now I got the fire, and I want them out.
Yeah, they did me too, and I'm not even part of the unions. I was never part of the unions. I had to worry every 4 years whether my guy was going to get reelected or not. I was just fortunate that he did, and I had 30 years there. But I understand exactly, because I go to the hall every so often, and all my guys were union. You know, IBW, all of them were union, the carpenters, everybody. I got things done at the chamber that they couldn't get done. They couldn't even imagine what got done there, what's in that chamber and what capabilities they have. But they were good to me. They were real good to me, and we had people that would help us. Now everybody's scared. They all tuck their tail between their legs and run. You can't have that.
I totally agree. All right, let me run down the board again. First three,
I'm
is your phone number. The first three, no, you're doing good. The first three is your phone number, and that's your name. I don't know your name. I don't know your face. If you'd like to say something, you're more welcome to say it. Right now we're talking about the election. We're talking about getting involved. We're talking about fighting for our retirees. So if there's anything you'd like to say, if you want to talk about work, what happened to you, if you feel that something went wrong, the RCC disrespected you, you're more welcome to talk about it. So the first three, not your error code, because your error code is 773, but the first three of your number, 450. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Reggie. This is Hector.
Hey, Hector. Congrats.
Hey,
congratulations.
Guys. Yeah, it's just the first step. You know, now hopefully we get enough votes out there. You know, like I said, I've always been in this just to get new people in there, get a voice for, you know, some of the people that are being ignored. A lot of people are being pushed aside. They're not even taking, you know, members' concerns seriously. It's almost like you bring a concern to them and they just laugh it off. It's not a big deal. Suck it up, you know, and it shouldn't be like that.
Now, Hector,
I also wanted to say thank you to the people that went and showed up and showed some support. I want to say thank you to those people. And we're going to need a lot more support come May 20th. You know, tell everybody that you can. Let people know. You know, right now is the time to go and do something. Play, you know, make a vote. Because all that we've been able to only do for 4 years is complain about how we've been treated, complain how we've been, you know, misrepresented. We've been ignored. And now's the time to basically put up or shut up. You know, we got to get out there. We actually got to, you know, go through with these, you know, threats of trying to get these guys out of there. You know, they didn't listen to us. They didn't take us seriously. Now we got to go and show them, you know, we're the ones that decide. And at the end of the day, they work for us. If I get elected, I work for, you know, you guys. And in reality, working for you guys is working for myself too. Because I want to be able to have benefits and retire when the time comes. And that's not going to happen if we keep allowing them to mistreat our retirees, to mistreat, you know, our benefits and basically get rid of whatever the city wants. It's not our fault that they've had, you know, financial crises that they themselves created. Nothing to do with the laborers' pension, you know, nothing to do with us. It's all them. So we should be getting taken care of. We're putting in the work. We should be getting taken care of when the time comes.
I have a question for you, Hector,
sure.
Real quick. Go ahead. Kristen, you'll be next right after this. Quick question.
No.
Quick question, Hector. Tell me, don't give me a long spin, but a short one. How did you feel when you was in there and they were doing a nomination and how they laughed about it? How did you feel about all of that? Because this was your first experience.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just, you know, they have no shame, you know, none. They know what they're doing. They know that the, you know, majority of the members are unhappy with what they're doing, and they just don't care. You know, they constantly show they don't care. They have no shame in how they treat us. They have no shame in how they talk to us. You know, it's like they laugh in our face. To them, it's just a big joke. You know, oh, we're all talk. We're not going to do anything. They have the votes, you know, but it's time to show them. You know what? No, you don't. You're not going to keep walking all over us, and it's time for us to do something, you know. Get out and vote.
Everybody, mic is open. I went overtime because I started setting it up, you know, for overtime. So everybody can take like 5 minutes to say whatever you want to say. I'll leave Pat and Dan for last, and we'll leave Christine. So I just, you know, I want people to really understand one thing. If all come to worst, I'm not going to get rid of this show because I think we need to start an organization to keep pressure on them. Because according to the Constitution, if we can get 3/4 of the members in the meeting, now all the members that means if it's 100 people there, we get 75 members to show up, we can overturn anything they want. So we just got to get ourselves organized to put pressure on them. And there's in there that we can ask them. Since they laid off Michelle, they said they was low in salaries. So why would you raise everybody's salary if you low on salaries so we can ask a reduction in their salaries? So we just got to organize, study together, and actually form a political organization within the organization. So if anybody want to respond, I'm going to go up and down the board. But right now, if anybody want to respond, they can respond to that. Then I'll go up and down the board.
You know, we as a country somehow passed the torch to put our politicians, our union officials in charge of us. They work for us. And it seems like everybody forgets that. I mean, they're dictating to us what we're going to do. There's something wrong. That's not the American way. They're our servants. We're not their servants. Yeah, you guys all got to remember that. I mean, you got to hold these people accountable for their actions.
That's why
I totally
it's supposed
agree.
To be called public service. Public service. That's why it's supposed to be public service, not lifetime job. That's what that's supposed to mean. Get your
and
ass
you know what
there.
I want to
get in there
that,
and get them out.
You're told as a city worker that you're a public servant. Your officials are public servants, too. You've got to hold them
right.
accountable for their actions.
Right.
I totally agree. So on this note, we're going to give everybody a couple of minutes to say whatever you want closing. And I want to say thank you to Dan and Pat for keeping this going, because a lot of times I feel like stop. I feel like stop, drop, and roll like a fire, because we're doing everything in our power to wake people up. But until that contract comes and they see this, laborers are going to take a pay cut, laborers are going to do random drug testing, laborers are going to do this, laborers are going to do that, and then all of them all of a sudden want to wake up. But this is the time to wake up right now, because in the next 4 years, you're going to allow somebody to come in office and make $180,000 plus $12,000 extra as a bonus, not including the Christmas gifts, the credit cards, and everything else they're going to have fun with. So wake up. Wake up. So I'm going to go up and down the board. I'll start with you, Hector, and then I'll go up from there. Go ahead, Hector. Anything you'd like to say, and your first and last name and what you're running for.
Yeah, this is Hector Maldonado, and I'm running for delegate to the district council. And, you know, to add what you were saying about the wages and how they got raises apparently, I just got one thing out of all that was the fact that these people that are in there right now that have full-time positions within the union, they earn say, a month apart from the vacation. And the fact that they don't even want to fight to give us that, you know, they're not trying to give us a way to accrue sick days. We should be accumulating sick days. We work outdoors. We work in all types of inclement weather. We're more likely to get sick. We're more likely to, you know, even get our family sick. So for them to be getting sick days as a full-time union employee, and to turn around and basically tell us, oh, we don't need them, and for them to not even fight to give us, and right now, our sick days are coming away from our vacation days. That's why they're called VVS, because it's not really sick days. It's using our vacation days and them telling us we could use five of our vacation days as calling. You know, it's time for them to give us what they get. If they are accumulating sick days, we should be able to accumulate sick days. If they can double dip in pension, and you know, because a lot of them, that's what they're doing. They're getting a second pension or a third pension. Yeah, they're setting themselves up, but they're forgetting about the retirees right now. You know, why can't we do the same? For us, they don't let us do that. We can't go and maybe do a couple years in CDOT or this or that to get an extra pension. No, it's all the same. We max out after a certain point. And that's what
well
they're
said,
doing. They're getting double.
Well said, Hector. You want to finish up?
Go ahead.
No, all right. Well said, Hector. I'm going to go up and down the board to someone else. Let's go to 865, five, a little short of what you want to say on the way out. 865.
I was just on, so you could take someone else, Reg.
All right, cool. Let's go to 936, Christina.
Okay. I've talked so damn much on this, and I apologize to everybody, but I get so pissed off thinking about what they're doing and how much they're making, and what it's sickening to me, and it's sickening that a guy can walk in the door and make $19.51, a guy that's been in the alley for a while, and they're making them work until they're 67 years old. That's absurd, absolutely absurd. And Reggie, you are absolutely right, because no matter how you felt about politics, I got in politics in the late 60s. So I've been around for a long time. I started in the old First Ward. You can say what you want about politics. In politics, they call it patronage. In private industry, they call it networking. How many anchors do you see have their sons, their daughters, their this, their that? Come on, after them. After they retire, the job is sitting there waiting for one of their kids. Grassroots is what is going to get these people to wake up. Grassroots. You have to almost grab them by the hand. And I'll tell you, one brilliant thing that Harold Washington's campaign did, and I don't care what anybody thinks about Harold Washington, he was the best mayor because he took all the guys that were TAs at the time and gave them career service based on their seniority. So that's what Harold Washington did for the worker, for the average guy. Grassroots. He mailed overnight a mailer explaining what he was about, and it was folded in four places. And you opened it up, and there was a picture of Harold Washington for mayor on the inside of that flyer. Overnight, thousands of those posters went up in windows. And if you don't think that's demoralizing to a precinct captain, like I was, I said, I ain't going to that damn house. They're ready. They don't know who they're going to vote for. I ain't going. You walk your ass off in the freezing cold. So you know what? Politics aside, anybody can say what they want about politics, but politics was good to people. There's people retired now that couldn't have never held a job, but they learned from their brothers, like Pasquale, walk behind the guy. Send the guy home. The superintendent slings cans. Because that wasn't always easy. When my husband was a G-man, he got bit three times by rats. And he had to roll cans. They didn't have this thing that throws the garbage in the back of the truck, which is nice for... But they're working towards getting it over the whole city. They think the driver's going to get out, pull the can, put it on the thing. It's going to go, ain't going to work. Not going to work. But that's what they're shooting for. Privatization, more privatization. I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, you did well. I'm going to give you a call after the show because I want to ask you a question, too. If I don't give you a call after the show, I'll call you tomorrow. But I want to ask you a question about the guy named Turner Atkins. Maybe you can help him. Let's go to the next caller. Dan the Man.
Okay. Piggybacking off Tina's comment. Politicians at one time, years ago, were good people. The ball game's changed. They want to destroy the city and line their pockets. They do not care about workers. None of them stood up when Emanuel cut the pensions, not one that I know of, and said, no, this is wrong. So it's a game changer. And people now that are working, my whole career I never got involved in union stuff, very little politics. Now it's a must. Not only for myself, for guys like Hector, and for myself. They're cutting our pensions. They're going to try it again with the grand bargain. You watch. They're going to try and cut the pensions with an agreement with Rauner. They're close to one now. So everyone, workers and retirees, if you want your pension in 10 years, you better do something about it right now.
Well said. Pat closes out.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys a little scolding, though, and you're going to hate me for it, but you know me, I say what's inside me. When you refer to retirees that you're going to help the retirees, please make it future retirees. We are done, guys. It's over. It's too late to help us. We're at the finish line. It's going to go one way or the other. So you got to help the future retirees. You have to put it into the current's heads. That, hey, you know what? You want to work to 65 or 67 with Trump? Who knows? It might be 70 years old before you could get Medicare. Are you going to walk these alleys? Because you will not be able to afford the insurance out there, the health insurance. And especially with all these changes going on, who knows what's going to happen? And the best, all these changes are occurring to give the big tax cuts to the billionaires, the one percenters, at the cost of the regular people. When you got to see Jimmy Kimmel on TV crying about the health care for his son. That's bullshit. Nobody should have to go through that. And then Trump gets on there and says, he tells the guy from what, Australia? They got the best health care system? Well, if they got the best, why don't we mimic it? Why don't we do the same thing? You know, we're all the same. We all bleed red. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, why should somebody have a better chance at life than you? You see these kids on TV every day suffering through cancers and everything, but there's hardly anything available to them, and it's going to get worse. I mean, we can't have this in this country. This is 2017. Let's start treating each other as humans.
I totally agree. Now, I was going to play James Ellis with the Go Rom, but I'm not going to do it because I want your blood pressure to get high.
Well,
so on that note, so on that note, I like this song that Frank Sinatra, My Way. And if you listen to the lyrics, I think every person needs to do it their way and judge yourself on your qualities and what can you offer someone and what can you give. So on the goodbye note, I'm gonna play this song, and I'm gonna put you in for next week, Pat. I like that song you sent me. So if you got a song, send it to me and I'll download it. But here it is, My Way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got?